been documented. One is, you know, we always say nature's against us. Nature was for us with silicon. You know, you couldn't ask for something better to make semiconductors. Nature was against us with gallium arsenide. It was never meant to be. That's just nature, see. And when it comes to SCSI cables, nature wanted SCSI disks all in a row, in this way, flat cable all like this. Nature wanted it that way. It's obvious, you see. And nobody should ever have SCSI cables like this. I haven't designed a computer for 40 years and haven't troubleshot one for a while. But I know how to troubleshoot. I can look at people troubleshooting. I know what's going through their head. They can't get those SCSI cables to work. Week after week, it's those SCSI cables. Odd cables in funny places. And then ordering them, having them made, it cost a fortune. But you see, we have so much. It's so easy to make a computer nowadays. All the designs in the chip. And the only variable is the number of disks. You know, we need one for two disks, one for four disks, one for six disks. And we have all these models with different names. We literally have two towers. I think there's one disk difference between them. All new packaging, all new name, all new team, all new marketing. One disk difference, see? Same group. That's why our computers cost too much to make. And at the end of the life of that computer, we have to throw away all those cables, all that tooling, all those cabinets, and all the leftover inventory. That's why our computers cost so much. People don't care for an infinite number of computers, and they always don't care. You know, they want a big computer. You don't come on brag about your computer. I was at Marshall's a number of months ago, and there was a Vax 4000, little thing, you know, little tiny thing, up against the wall. And the salesman was just distraught. In the room, filled with absolute junk from IBM. I mean, it was atrocious junk, and I mean it. I'm not talking, I don't know what it was electrically, just physically it was junk. Unbelievable, just to do time sharing, unbelievable. A room half the size, filled with junk. And the IBM salesman would come into the digital segment, you call that a computer? And it probably could do all the things the room full of IBM stuff would do. But being that small, you know, Marshall's wouldn't buy one of those to run their company, because what would you do with visitors? You can't say, we run our whole big store with that little thing there, see? And this idea they gotta be small is crazy. What they gotta do is be expandable. So first thing we gotta do is making them simple, easy, and never run out of space. And don't have a different model for every number of disks. Sounds obvious. But once you put a code name on a collection of disks in a chip, the emotions for that code name are so high that cutting it out is just trauma. The other reason our products cost so much is we refuse to accept the standards for cables and connectors. When we build a workstation, the way the engineer measures himself, he says, this box is how I measure myself. I measure myself on this box, see. Now the customer measures them on, what does it cost to install it, see? If it takes three boxes high in order to get the disk to make it useful, that's what the customer calls it on. The engineer does it without any disks and no cables. If there's funny adapters that dangle out the back cantilevered where they get broken and break everything, that's all part of the cost for the customer. The engineer says, no, I refuse. I will only measure myself on the box. So the engineer's happy as a clam of his success. The customers won't buy it. They never can get the right number of cables to go along with that thing. They can't open it up and put something new in it. the projects, which are functions, have to be sensitive to what the customers need. Now, what is the answer to that? The answer is very simple. If you say, how many kinds of CPUs? Hey, first of all, we got a crazy number of CPUs, but we got to live with it. I don't know how we got so many CPUs. But you take one of each, and you put it in a little box. The bottom half of this is a CPU. And you put your disks, like nature meant it to be, all in a row, with the SCSIs lined up in the back. And you get a group of seven. And you get an order in, and you just stack these up. How many you want? Now, there's no code name for that computer. And there's no model for it. There's no team, there's no price, there's no marketing. Now, if you have four of these boxes, the easiest ones to take are the four right out of the workstation. We've got to make the workstations. They're there. The workstations are done, they're in production, and the software works. So we take the Cougar board for the backs, we take the MIPS board, and we take the Alpha board, and we put them in this box. And we stack them, we store them, we just store them as high, you know, on an automatic machine. And we take an Intel machine, same box. If people want just three disks, you put this little super on here. And then when the order comes, you just stack them up. It's all done. With that, in one factory, we will make all the computers' digital needs forever in one place, in 24 hours. Now, those people who love cables will be brokenhearted. Oh, and these boxes are very complicated. There's only two wires, power and Ethernet. Sometimes FDDI, and for some things, four FDDIs. I said two Ethernet because it just seemed like a good round number. Somebody wrote a magazine article in Barry Goldstein, and Barry says it's got to be four Ethernets. But in principle, there's just a network cable and a power cable. The fact that there are four FDDIs and four Ethernet doesn't bother the concept. Now, you can see what this means. The back end of this building, can make most of the computers we sell today. Oh, I forgot about two more boxes. We need a multiprocessor. I don't like multiprocessing. That's the old days. Who needs multiprocessing when you got an Alpha or even an NVAX? Not very many people, but some think they do. So we're in production on the laser. We put a laser in one of these. It only costs $15,000. And they have an Alpha version almost here. And so we have four of these sizes without the super and two lasers, Alpha and NVAX. Four FDDIs coming out the back. You know, FDDI is not a network. FDDI is a incorrectly used set of words. It's a point-to-point communication. And you know, they work at 100 megahertz, 100 megabits, but coming and going. And so four times 100 times two, that gets to be a reasonable computer. So with six boxes, pile of storm boxes, make anything. Now, of course, with that, you have the backup tapes. We'll have the Puritan box for communication. And we'll put them in cabinets. Now, people miss the point. Our point is not to use beautiful new cabinets. They had to be beautiful in order to make them big so they have expansion space and sit in the office. But the cabinets are a detail. The cabinets aren't the goal. The goal is 1,000 of each. No, it's just-in-time inventory. A small pile of each computer a bigger pile of storm boxes, and we make every computer the company needs, maybe in the back room here, maybe in a bigger plant. Now, sometimes we'll ship them out and assemble them in the customer. Sometimes we'll take them here and test them, but all automatically. Now, with the cabinets, there's some interesting things. Barry Goldstein will bend your ear for 3 hours if you give him a chance afterward. But there's some fun things about it. MCI visited us at Deck World. MCI was here last fall and said they said they have three kinds of computers: mainframe, digital, and desktop. The most cost-effective is the mainframe. It's used 80% of the time. The least, by far, cost-effective is the personal computer, and 50% effective is deck equipment. That's because they have 50% expansion space for, that's the kind of business we do for them. They don't know what the load is. But they're not going to buy any more from us. DuPont said they're not going to buy any more from us. Citibank said they're not going to buy from IBM, they're going to buy from us. All for the same reasons. They're not going to buy big boxes. They want desktop prices, desktop computing to do their jobs. They want to distribute the jobs across them. But they don't know what they're talking about. I was at Quebec Hydro a couple months ago, and they were telling me how they were going to drop the big machines and go to desktop devices. And I got a little irritated with them because their logic wasn't there, and I was going to straighten them out. Fortunately, I bit my tongue for a while, and by the time they got the thing organized, it was all boxes. But what people want is desktop prices, desktop sizes, and distribute the business across them. And I say, they don't understand it. I say they don't want cables on the floor and keyboards on the desk. Because there's one thing about computer customers, this production system, above all, security. Research Board visited us a year or two ago and said, don't let so-and-so, one of our best speakers, ever talk to our customers. This is the Club of Mainframe Users. Very important friend. The reason they said don't let our man, and that means several of our people, talk to these mainframe customers, because we walk in and say, hey, you're doing it wrong. You're doing this. You should distribute this. That might be right, but they are so terrified about security. They have enough problem with security in one room. Distributing it terrifies them. On the other hand, they want desktop-sized machines at desktop prices, and they don't know how to tie the two together. The way is obvious. That's no mean machine. That's an NVAX, an Alpha, or a BIPS machine with 3 gigabytes a disk. You stack those things up, and you've got quite a bit of computing. And you stack it up in a rack, and that's what they want. Now, they don't want it in a beautiful rack. So it's not the rack we're selling. They want an ugly computer room rack. We used to think they're beautiful, now they're ugly. Because they don't want anybody touching a keyboard, tripping on a cable. They want the lights out and the door closed. Now, what does this mean from a cost point of view? I said MCI came to visit us, Deck World. We showed a rack of 8 storm boxes. Seven disks in a storm box, 56 disks. That's a little more than 56 gigabytes. That's pretty good. And the head man from MCI said to his colleague, why do we have all those Hitachi disks? Then he says, why are we building a $31 million building to hold them? And Barry, of course, had answer. It would take very few of those racks. You see, they got to store 20-cent bits of information, bytes of information, for every telephone call for 3 months. They're building a $31 million building to store the Hitachi disks. It would take very few of those towers. And computer word towers, you can put them back to back. And this is a revolution. You see the significance of it. With this building, where we're setting up a laboratory to do this and demonstrate it very quickly and do some manufacturing, there's a computer room. There's two choices. Move it out, or replace it with very, very few of those racks. Devastatingly small number of racks to eliminate the whole room. I don't know about you, I get emotionally bothered by the concept. There's clusters in that room that don't have to be clusters at all. One rack and one anvax would wipe out the whole cluster. That's today. Now, that is what our big customers want. And the longer our engineering managers and engineers are saying, one more generation of big boxes and we'll go into that concept, the longer we go downhill. So by building things this way, we solve two of those three problems. Cost of manufacturing almost disappears. Satisfying those customers who say they're going to stop buying from us, we have a potential answer. And we have to change. The second problem of the three that I said was the cost of selling. We have probably the most ridiculous way of selling. It was set up because engineering didn't want to know anything about the customer or anything else. We did it because when we had a small number of computers, we could train a salesman to design the systems and prepare a bid. Oh, by the way, some of you remember the rack and stack computing? Back a long time ago, we went through exactly the same thing. We had a random bunch of stuff that people designed, and you could configure it and design it. This was impossible. Each one had different set of specs, different temperature ranges, different voltage tolerances, and different sizes, and different depths, and different cables, and everything else. And so I arbitrarily said, every unit we build will go into a 10.5-inch panel with its own power supply and its own fan. There was rebellion, because some things needed only half that, and that just killed the engineers. Some things needed a lot of pushing in order to fit in there, and that raised rebellion. But what the salesman could do then was they knew that six of those fit in the rack. They knew they all would work together because their standards were all the same, and they could make out a bid right standing in front of the customer. Just add up the pieces, divide it by six. There was a number of racks. They knew they all worked. And that was the rack and stack business. Let me deviate from all of my stories and tell you the next step, because there's a message here, but it doesn't bear on anything else I've said. In time, it became clear that there was a cheaper way to make computers. Instead of having sheet metal around every component in a rack with heavy sheet metal around it, it was obvious that the next way to build computers was to put them in one box with one power supply and one fan. And you would think that idea would be obvious and would be easy to sell. Now, to try to demonstrate the idea, because I couldn't explain it to people, they thought the rack and stack came from heaven. I know it didn't come from heaven. It was just expediency. I built a model. Jim Walls built a model for me of a computer in a little cabinet with several boards, all the components spread around the outside of the box, or inside, on the outside walls, but inside the box, with one power supply, one set of fans. And Dick Clayton said to me, "Oh, Ken, we decided not to use your box, but don't feel badly. Oh, we'll use it another time." I almost cried. I didn't care about the design. There was no design in the box at all, see? He missed the point. Time had come to break away from rack and stack to putting it all in one box. And making changes was very difficult for engineers. They thought it came from heaven, and I knew it didn't. Interestingly, what we're doing now is coming back very close again to rack and stack. And it is the thing to do now. It's interesting how there's no principle that overrides everything. It's just that what's wise at one time is wise again. Now, when it comes to order processing, we had it easy in rack and stack days. It was relatively easy in the early VAX days. The problem in the early VAX days is our engineers would not spend any time on serial lines. And it was kind of ridiculous. You look at a system 10, a system 10 or 20, the computer was this big, the serial lines took four times as much. You know, it should be trivial and no cost, but our engineers said, we don't do serial lines. The cost was in the serial lines. Our engineers would not look at the cost. They look at the VAX, but not the cost of the system. And the space of the room, it was in the serial lines. We're not always looking at the customer's problem. But now the cost of selling is enormous. Can you imagine one salesman walking into a customer and knowing enough to sell Intel, MIPS, VAX, and Alpha, with no help from the engineers? There is no chart today that says what you get and what you don't get. Above all, no chart showing what you don't get for each of these machines we build. Can you believe that? The salesman does not have the information today. Our engineers will not document enough to sell the products. So to make a sale takes 5 or 10 experts to go in and get the information necessary to design and sell a product. It costs us more to sell than to build a product. And the reason is we have so many products and we refuse to make it simple. The VAX people last week claimed they solved that problem for the VAX. I'm sure they did. But you see what makes our selling expensive? 5 or 10 experts for one order. This means when we allocate those expenses, even the simple order gets charged for those expensive orders. What's the answer? It's obvious. It's obvious. You should not expect the salesman to do the design of the system. Not if you're going to have so many kinds of computers and so many kinds of operating systems. You just don't do it. With our new manufacturing, or any product that wants to be profitable, should say, I'm going to take care of that myself. They should get the request to bid, design the system, bid it, take care of any change notices, deliver it, make sure it works. And boy, by mass producing them, they should do it quickly. Now, in this new production system, they get an order in, a request to bid, they do the design for the customer, and there's not many variations, you know, they just crank them out. They package it or send the pieces out from all over the world. So somebody go in and make it work, and it costs next to nothing. And you pay the salesman for the time to support the customer, be nice to the customer, and get the request for bid. Now, I've been asking the engineering groups to start doing that right away, but no way did the engineering group ever want to make a change. Now, the next thing we've done with already is to sell a lot of things through catalogs. We were in the personal computer business for a few years. It's not the party line outside. We lost our shirt in the last few years in personal computers. It's worse than that. We lost a lot of shirts. One of the reasons is we made some stupid contracts with outside. unbelievably stupid, but partly because we're selling them like regular computers. What we did was say we'll sell them by catalog. Selling them by catalog, the cost plummeted for two reasons. It forced the people to write down what the computers were. Selling personal computers without the information in any context or relating them and hiding the information that some have ESA or ISA slots and some don't, you know, and hiding that information. Nice thing about retiring is that big fat computer book came in the mail the weekend, and I felt no obligation to look at it. Bob might hire me back to do some research project, like make a massively parallel machine. But then I have to read the books again. But I did look through that catalog once. You know the one, it weighs 4 pounds. I only got halfway through, but it was clear, you know, there must be a 200 PC manufacturers advertised there. Everyone tells all their features, and none of them tell what they don't have. And it's a terror. You know they're out there to outsmart you. And what I insist on for our catalog is tell them everything so they aren't terrified that we're cheating them, see? And there's the difference. Now with that, our business is mushroom. And I forget the numbers now, but I just ran into Zreski. The last few weeks, in the new quarter, the summer quarter, which things are supposed to be slow, they're selling very well, see? Through the catalog. Now in the workstation business, where we lose our shirt, we should quickly sell them through catalog. When there's big orders, send somebody out from home to do the big order. Don't have that army in the field doing things they don't do well. Do you see how we can cut our cost of selling? Fernando, with his fault-tolerant machines, been beat up unmercifully because he's losing money. I don't know why he beat up on him. Everybody's losing money on their products. But him, he gets beat up. But interesting for one reason. His cost of selling. He worked out a deal where he does the selling. They bring in the account, he does the selling, and his budget makes money. He learns, partly because he has a plan. He's got a stable plan, and out of that plan, he can work these things out, and he can figure out how to do it. And he's got a plan for doing the hard work himself. He's got to do it anyway and make money. Now, other three problems. Cost of manufacturing, boy, I think we got in hand. We'll make them cheaper than anybody. Next one, cost of selling. We have the tools, and it means the engineering group has to do the work, and they can really whip them out, I think. And the third is the customers say they want to buy from us, and I think we can solve that one. Now, you might accuse me of making up excuse after we've done dumb things, and that might be true, but I don't think so. I can't acknowledge that. Why do we have so many chips and so many operating systems? The first question is, can we possibly compete with customers who have one operating system and one chip? That question is really worth thinking about. We don't have freedom anymore. When you father a child, you have obligations forever. And we've fathered a number of children here. And we've got obligations to them. MIPS is one of them. MIPS machines are our children. And we took obligations and made commitments, and they're our children. And we will support MIPS. And there's no such thing as, nowadays we hate Ultrix. No. We will support Ultrix. We obviously support VAX. VAX is by far still the most desirable operating system for VMS, most desirable operating system for most commercial applications. We, of course, support VAX because the customers want VAX even when Alpha is done, because one thing about computer people, if it works, they never want to touch it. Newspapers are still running on PDB-8. People are using IBM software they haven't touched for 15, 20 years. They're not going to touch it for another 15 or 20 years. It works, leave it alone. And we support VAX because it's people don't want to move. We, of course, support Intel because it is so ubiquitous. We also, of course, with all our heart, support Alpha because it has so much promise for the future and does so much. We won over the hearts of many of the people at MIT with the Alpha. And MIT is a critical bunch of people. And they're not about to readily acknowledge that digital is great. And one of the most significant things is, interestingly, the fact that it was done on the East Coast. No one thought it could ever be done. But remember, Alpha is not the product. The product are what we make with Alpha. Alpha is just a component to it. A magnificent, beautiful, wonderful thing. But it is not the goal. The goal is the business units that make money. Why do we have that list? And then why do we have all that list of operating systems? I can't keep track of those in the personal computers. We've always said OS2 with our fingers crossed. Now we're probably saying OS2 openly, at least a little bit.